Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship all to Kemnay Parish Church today. Welcome if you're with us in person, watching live online, or on our catch-up service later in the week. We're delighted to have you with us today. As you know, I am a passionate fan of the Seattle Seahawks. And when it comes time, every week there's a game. 2 days before the game, the head coach, Pete Carroll, always puts a Facebook blast out saying, it's the day before the day before. And that's where we're at right now as Christians. It's the day before the day before. So welcome to worship here on the 23rd, on this fourth Sunday of Advent. Just a few intimations to start. First of all, just a notification that, as we recall, last November, we participated as a church in the Tear Fund Big Quiz, which was a nationwide event. And you see in the print, the nationwide event attracted over 22,000 participants and raised the excellent sum of £146,000 for Tear Fund, which is outstanding. And a huge thanks to all here who participated in our local contribution. A reminder as well that Loaves and Fishes is now closed for the holiday season, but it will reopen on Tuesday, the 15th of January. 15th of January is when Loaves and Fishes reopens. A reminder as well, in case you need one, that tomorrow, Christmas Eve, hard to believe it's Christmas Eve tomorrow, we will have a 6:30 p.m. Chris Dingle service here in the church. Hopefully this will be well attended by members of the church and by members of the community as well. This is a Chris Dingle service, and a reminder that if you're wanting to participate in making a Chris Dingle, please do bring along an orange for every person who wants to participate in this. Other supplies will be provided, but please do bring along an orange for every participant. That would be most appreciated. And if you're interested in helping volunteer to help with the service in terms of maybe perhaps helping kids get their oranges cut if they haven't done so before, they're here to cut the little hole out. We may need some hands on deck to help with that. So anybody who can lend a hand to those sorts of things, your help and volunteering would be greatly appreciated. Then after that service, later on the same evening, 11 p.m., Carols for All, my outstanding jokes to boot as well. I don't worry, I haven't started working on it.
All of these services are set up as events on Facebook. So if you use Facebook and you have not liked the church page yet, now's the time to do so, and please share these events so that other people in the community will also find out about them.
Thank you, Jim. So that is a record of what is going on in the next couple days here in the church. And before I get to the last written intimation, I think we'll move on to the video we have. Please, Judith. Thanks very much. As we saw this video, and we'll show it again this week, this is about the Scottish Charity Air Ambulance Service, which is our chosen Christmas charity for this year. We have the sound up, please, as well.
Scotland Charity Air Ambulance is a vital frontline service, saving lives in time-critical emergencies. On standby 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, and tasked through the 999 emergency services, the Air Ambulance has saved countless lives since its launch in May 2013.
SCAR has very quickly become an integrated and an utterly indispensable part of the emergency services throughout the whole of Scotland. From our base at Perth Airport, in an emergency we can reach 90% of Scotland's population in less than 30 minutes. We have already saved countless lives and limbs and have touched thousands of people throughout the whole of Scotland. We've been amazed and humbled by the level of support and engagement nationally. There are 6 deaths or serious injuries on Scottish roads every day. Add to that the heart attacks, the strokes, sporting injuries, industrial incidents, agricultural accidents. This is an enormous daily challenge for our blue light services to respond to. Our service turns a potentially uncomfortable road transfer that could take hours into a smooth air transfer that could take minutes. And in many cases, that's not just nice to have, it's simply the difference between life and death.
A team of 2 pilots and 5 Scottish Ambulance Service paramedics work together to help transport patients to a hospital that will deliver definitive care for their needs.
This aircraft in Scotland brings with it the speed of getting that patient from the scene to the definitive care. So that may be taken to a more specialist centre in Scotland, which by road could be over an hour to 2 hours. So it's really interesting being part of a team. From being a land ambulance where you're normally on with a colleague and yourself, now we're on with a colleague and also the pilot as well. So we've got to very much work within the team. We've got to switch out of our clinical head sometimes and get into aviation mode and then back again. And we've also got to look after our pilot as well, because he's got to fly us to the scene and to the hospitals.
With its speed and onboard medical team, SCAR's helicopter is a state-of-the-art air ambulance.
The helicopter has a cruising speed of 130 miles per hour. It has got fantastic endurance, it has a wide range, and more importantly, it provides a comprehensive care for the patient on board for the paramedics to deal with. An additional benefit of this helicopter allows us to actually bring a loved one or a carer on board, and that's particularly important when we're lifting children. We can deal with a different type of care. The helicopter can fly in most types of weather, certainly hours of darkness, low cloud cover. However, when we are unable to fly, we do have a rapid response vehicle that can provide resilience.
Supplied by Bond Air Services, SCAR's pilots are hugely experienced veterans of the air.
You're going out, you're helping people, and you see the direct effects, really, some of the casualties, whereas some of the flying I've done before, transit flying, or taking people from A to B, it's not... There's no real sense of achievement, but as this, you can actually see you're helping people.
It's not just the paramedics and pilot that are heroes, though. SCAR has a network of volunteers who work tirelessly to promote and fundraise for the charity.
I think we both were at a time in our lives when we've both got some spare time on our hands. The Moira being part-time and me being retired. So we thought if we could pick a charity, picking one as close to home as this would be ideal for us.
Really went across the spectrum, yeah, because basically any of us could need this service at any point, any time. We hope we never would.
We hope never would. Yeah.
But we're so glad it's there.
To continue saving lives, Scotland's charity Air Ambulance relies entirely on funding from trusts, foundations, corporate companies, and of course the public. Without these donations, the service would simply not exist.
Well, our helicopter is operational 365 days a year, which amounts to about £2 million per annum. And it's vitally important that the people of Scotland continue to fund the service, as they have done remarkably since day one. It's important that people continue to contribute, and there are a number of ways that they can contribute. That's voluntary, whether it's through local businesses, local communities, by playing a lottery, which is for as little as £1 a week, you can help provide this service, fantastic service.
SCAR is the people's helicopter. From day one, we've been funded by the people of Scotland, for the people of Scotland. Please help us today so that we can help you tomorrow.
To donate, go to www.scar.org.uk or text SCAR01 and your donation amount to 770.
So as we said last week, this is our chosen charity for Christmas, and it should be emphasized that the monies raised from offerings during the Christmas season here in the church will go to support the Aberdeen-based aircraft for the SCAA, a very worthy cause. And there'll be options to give a retiring offering starting this Sunday, and then during the services tomorrow, Christmas Day, and also on the 30th as well. And generosity is greatly appreciated towards the SCAA. But with those intimations shared then, we'll enter into our time of worship together by singing our first song of praise, Light of the World. And during the singing of this song, your regular offerings for God's continued work here in Kemnay and beyond will be uplifted.
Thank you. Thanksgiving. Father God, the light of the world, the light in our darkness, the light for our path, we thank you for all the light you bring to our lives. Help us to spread the light around us. We thank you for the many blessings you shower upon us, Lord. The food on our plates each day, our homes, our friends and families who love, support and encourage us. Our Christian teachers who bring your word to us. We ask your blessing on Joshua as he teaches us today. And on Heather and Kylie who are enjoying time with family. As we find ourselves more and more involved in the practical aspects of the Christmas celebrations, help us to keep focused on you and on your Son. The gifts of hospitality and friendship are more important than perfect house or meal. We all know that, but it's easy to get persuaded otherwise by TV advertising. Help us to be content to celebrate within our means. Despite all your blessings, Lord, we get things wrong in our lives and in our dealings with others. Forgive us for the times we have said or done things which let you down, and for the times we stayed quiet when we should have spoken. We thank you for the gifts you have given us of talents and of money, which we return to you now with the hope of furthering your work in this area. Help us to use our talents for your glory. We continue to pray together using the words Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Rita. Continue to worship God with the gift of music by singing our next song of praise together, How Lovely on the Mountains Our God Reigns.
Thank you.
invite children, if you'd like to come down front and sit with me on the steps for our children's time. Come on down, everybody. How are you all doing today? You all good? Good. And I'm going to make a guess, okay? I'm going to guess, are you excited for Christmas? Yeah, I think so. Who wouldn't be excited for Christmas? But I have another question for you as well. Do any of you like music? Yeah? What kind of music do you like? Rock and roll music. Oh, that's a good influence right there. Very good. Very good. Me too. Yes. What other kinds of music do you like? Any particular bands or singers or musicians that you really like to listen to? That your moms and dads or grannies and grandpas like to listen to? I know one person that your grandpa loves to listen to. Elvis Presley, that's right, the king, aptly named. The Beatles, good taste, Matt, very good taste indeed. Yes, indeed, music is a wonderful thing. I grew up, when I was your age, I grew up with my parents, we listened to all kinds of music. And music's very important for us here. Do you know what this stuff is right here? What does that look like? Notes. You agree, is that music notes? And we do some singing here in the church, don't we? Didn't we just sing songs? Music is such an important part of what we do as Christian people. Somebody once said that when we sing, it's kind of like praying twice. That's a pretty neat idea, that singing is so important. And there's all kinds of songs that we sing here in the church for everything that we experience in life, the happy times, the sad times. There's a song for every occasion we have in books like this, and these words we sing on the screens as well. But music can make us feel so much better, can lift our mood, make us feel good. But did you know as well that the Bible itself is full of music? It is full of songs. And today, later, we're looking at a very special song that one person sang in particular. Do you remember, what's the name of Jesus' mother? Mary, that's right. We're looking at a song today that Mary sang. That in Luke's gospel, it tells us that after Mary was told she was pregnant with Jesus, she went to see her cousin Elizabeth. And when they saw each other, Mary burst into song, a very special song that she sang. It was a song praising God. But if we look at the words that she sang, they're amazing words, saying that God cares for those who are lowly. He protects those who are hurting. It's an amazing song of blessing and protection. And that's the song that Mary sang. That's how she understood God to be working in her life of caring for children and for those who can't care for themselves. So it's a reminder today that God is always, always on the side of those who need help. It's a very special song, and we'll learn more about it with your parents and grannies and grandpas later on today. But I want you to remember today, as we get closer to Christmas, that the true meaning of Christmas is that Jesus was born for us. He was born for children, for adults, for everyone who trusts and believes in his name. So I hope as we go forward, as we sing more today, and hopefully we'll see you tomorrow for the 6:30 service perhaps, we'll sing more songs there. And remember that all of these songs are meant to praise God and to bring us closer and closer to him. So let's thank God for the gift of music and songs that we can sing together. Let's pray together. Repeat after me, okay? Dear Lord, thank you for the gift of music. Thank you for the songs we can sing. Thank you for the songs here in church. And for the songs we sing in our homes. We love you so much. Thank you for the good news of Christmas. Amen. Nothing like a child's prayer. You can go back and have a seat with your moms and daddies and grannies and grandpas. The person who said that when you sing, you pray twice, I think it was John Wesley who said that, by the way. But we stand on the cusp of the birth of new hope. And as we light our fourth Advent candle, as our Advent journey nears its completion, we stand together and we sing the fourth verse of O Come, Emmanuel.
Our reading today comes from Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 39. You will find it on page 1026 in the Bible. Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And now we have Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Amen. And thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you, Nell. We continue worship together with singing our next song of praise, "Strength Will Rise."
Strength arises, he waits upon the Lord.
Show our appreciation to our praise band. They're doing all the music during this Christmas season and doing a wonderful job. Thank you guys, Mary, very much. It's especially good, Peter, to have you home from university back home with us here in Aberdeenshire. Welcome back. It's nice to be back playing bass again. Let's have a word of prayer together now. Let us pray. Speak to us, Lord. In the power of your word. In this time, as we reflect together on this passage from Luke's gospel, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength, hope, and redemption of all who trust in you. Amen. As I mentioned in the children's talk, when I was growing up in Spokane, Washington, music was very much a staple in my home. I struggle to remember a time when music, some form of music, was not being played. And almost every kind of music was played in my home. I suppose that my parents wanted me to be well-versed in the many different ways that music can and should touch one's life and one's soul. And isn't music powerful in that way? Doesn't music seem to have an incredible ability to take us beyond ourselves, beyond our own limits, beyond our cares, and beyond our worries? Can't music give expression to some of those things that cannot be captured in mere words? I can think of several key moments in my life that have been shaped profoundly by music. And it's probably because of those kinds of reasons, those experiences, that I decided to study music formally in university, along with theology. So music has an ability to shape us and to change us as people. And as I mentioned, my house was full of music when I was growing up. Classical music, rock and roll, jazz, rhythm and blues, Motown, and, of course, country music. Now, hands up if you like country music. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea, but my father, Mark, especially, he found and still finds great enjoyment in country music. And we're talking about artists like Hank Williams Sr., Merle Haggard, you know, like the great country artists in that way. Johnny Cash, of course, who is kind of a hybrid musician, I suppose, between country and rock and roll and folk and gospel. Okay, he's very talented. We'll leave it at that. But when I was preparing this sermon, my mind went back to one particular story about one particular country singer named Travis Tritt. Maybe you've never heard of him. Maybe you have. But if you're a country music fan, maybe you do know Travis Tritt. And he made a name for himself in his earlier days playing everything from southern rock and roll to to bluegrass to standard country music as a performer. And he once gave an interview, he revealed a little known secret about his earliest years of playing music, where he played out of the way clubs and joints, and sometimes these were not the safest environments in which to be performing. Sometimes things got out of hand and even a little bit dangerous. Once an all-out brawl broke out in the bar when he was playing, and he tried something to calm people down that worked so well, it became his standard response when fights started at his shows. He said in the interview, Tritt said in the interview, that when things started to get out of hand, when bikers were reaching for their pool cues, and when other people were heading for the gun rack, he would start playing Silent Night. It could have been the middle of July, but he didn't care. He would start playing Silent Night, just slowly strumming his guitar. And he said that as he played, these grown men covered in like tattoos with huge beards and whatnot would stop everything, turn and watch and calm down, and oftentimes they would start singing along or even start to cry. And standing there watching him sweat buckets while playing Christmas carols. So it seems that music can soothe the savage beast after all. Music can have a powerful influence on us as people. It can draw us back to times where perhaps we felt more innocent in our lives, when the world felt simpler, perhaps. And this is especially true about the power of music in this time of year when Christmas carols abound. And in many ways, today's passage from Luke's Gospel can be thought of as a Christmas carol. Perhaps, in fact, even the first Christmas carol. I am, of course, talking about the Song of Mary, that Nell recited for us just a moment ago, known to us as the Magnificat. But this Christmas carol is of a different sort than the ones we normally sing. Unlike most carols, including Silent Night, the Magnificat, when we really listen to it, when we really consider its words, tends to provoke a different sort of response. There's one famous Methodist preacher and scholar, E. Stanley Jones, who he called the Magnificat, these words of Mary, he called them the most revolutionary document in the whole world. Another writer has said that reading the lyrics of this song, of Mary's song, is like taking a whiff of dynamite powder. And we know this story well, don't we? We heard it, that Mary received the announcement from the angel of Jesus' birth, and then she went to see her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist. And after their joyful greeting, our text tells us that Mary burst into song. We'll hear it again now. But don't worry, I won't actually sing it. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has looked on the humble estate of his servant. Behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Not exactly a run-of-the-mill Christmas carol, now, is it? But we should pay careful attention to the words that were sung by this teenage girl who is so important in the drama of salvation. In the song, she sings of God looking down on the humble condition of those who serve him. For herself and her own life, we think that Mary was maybe 15, maybe even 14. And she sees her own littleness, her own perceived sense of insignificance. She's just one little girl, both in the eyes of the world and in the eyes of God. Her words tell us that Mary felt totally unworthy to be chosen by God. Just another poor girl among thousands of other poor girls in backwater towns of a captive nation at the time. And in the song, we hear how Mary was struck, how God's choosing is so unlike the way that we and the world tend to make our choices, the qualities we look for. And there's almost always a single question that arises in the heart of a person who understands something of how much grace it takes for God to work through them, to choose their lives to do great things. And that question is, why me? Mary sings this song. She goes, I know my own fallibility, how fickle my heart is, and how perfect you are, Lord. So how is it you would choose the likes of me? That's what her song is saying. Mary's words show us that humility and lowliness are the abiding marks of someone who has stood in the presence of God long enough to realize that they don't deserve it, but yet they still receive mercy, kindness, and love from God. I've had the experience in ministry of seeing people's lives changed by faith, by those especially who convert to faith. And that the change it often brings in people's lives is astounding. People go from loud, brash, arrogant, to quiet, humble, and gentle. It's amazing how much the presence of God, the realization of His love, His mercy, and kindness can touch and change our lives. And in this first part of the song, we see something wonderful and true about God, that God loves the underdog, the unqualified, the unimpressive, that Mary stands just before the Lord just as everyone else does, needy, flawed, nothing to merit favor, nothing to earn, and she is amazed at a God who knows her and chooses her anyways. But it continues. She continues her song by singing of the radical reversals from the world's values that God enacts. She says, He has done mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. Now Mary is just a young girl, as we've heard, not a political analyst. She is standing in the living room of an older relative in the hill country of Judea singing a song. But she saw it coming. Her child would upend all of the centers of power that we as people try to establish apart from God on this earth. This baby, her baby, is God's signal to power brokers at every strata of society that the end of human strutting and self-centered ambition is at hand. And I just love the opening line of this part when it says, He has done a mighty deed with His arm. That's wonderful imagery, poetic imagery. When I was younger, along with listening to lots of music in the house, I loved to challenge my father to arm wrestling. And because my arm was too short, I would often put a book under my elbow, you know, to hold it up, and would lock arms with my dad, locking eyes, not backing down. We would go at it, and sometimes I would use two hands, all my body weight as well, to try and win in arm wrestling. And when I was younger, sometimes my dad would let me push his arm backward, backward, back, like I was about to win. And I was like, yes, I'm going to do it. He would watch me strain, getting beat red in the face and pushing with all my strength. And then at the moment of his choosing, what would he do? Right back there. And we both burst out laughing. We both knew it was just for fun, usually. It's a reminder of how strong God's strength really is, how much God can easily overcome. We think today about the kind of people that our culture idolizes, our overpaid sports figures, our loud, brash business executives, self-consumed celebrities, prideful political leaders. How many of these folk have tried to arm wrestle with God? How many of them have tried to walk over other people? And I think of this verse and it gives me comfort. To know there's a greater power at play in the world. And if we feel caught up in this world's values, if we feel choked by them, if we feel like we're fresh out of options this morning, if we feel like we've been dealt a crummy hand in life, then the Song of Mary is for us. It's a comforting, soothing reminder that even the ups and downs of life, even in the swirling of chaos, that God's strength is greater than all things, and God's strength can be our true foundation and our comfort. And in one day, God will say, enough! One day, justice will flow like water, and righteousness like an unfailing stream, washing away the wrong and setting all things right. God is strong, the helper of the helpless. We see this truth throughout history as well. How many times has the Lord deposed the King Herods, the Adolf Hitlers, the Saddam Husseins of the world? How many times do people try and set themselves up as the end-all be-all only to be brought low? God is the breaker of the bow. He blasts their projects. He brings the haughty low and exalts the humble. Mary's song reminds us that we need to reverse our ambitions if we want to flourish in God's world. We shouldn't buy the hype this world system dishes out that says, if you're going to get anywhere in life, you've got to be assertive, stand up for your rights, blow your own horn, pat your own back, climb over those who get in your way. Mary's song reminds us there's a higher law at work than just the law of the jungle. And that law is that everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. The one who humbles himself will be exalted. So we are to seek humility, not glory. We are to labor for God, not for ourselves. We are not to care who gets the credit. We are to give without expecting anything in return. We are to take the back seat. That's the path to greatness in God's kingdom. The prophet Isaiah reminds us that God says, I will look favorably on this kind of person, on one who is humble, submissive in spirit, who trembles at my word. Isaiah 66:2. Mary's song continues saying, he has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God is looking for people who are hungry for him. Jesus himself said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. The church exists for people who feel their own hunger, who feel their own emptiness. That's the kind of people God is looking for. He loves the forgotten. He loves the passed over. Christmas story tells us that in Jesus, God has pledged himself to those who know that they don't have it together. He shows mercy to those who don't deserve it. He chooses the lowly over the proud. He finds the hungry and fills them. That God is on the side of those who can't take care of themselves. That is what the Magnificat is all about. It's about the divine reversal of all things. The first shall be last. The last shall be first. This is why it can be called the most revolutionary Christmas carol of all time. This divine reversal is what Christmas is all about, is what Jesus is all about. For in him, in his birth, God's kingdom has broken into the world in a new way. So as we prepare to approach the manger yet again, may the song of Mary resonate with new urgency and new meaning in our own hearts, in our own lives. With Mary, this Christmas, let us magnify the Lord. Amen. Mary's song reminds us, even when we feel weak, God is stronger. He is our true strength, our rock. And he that is in us is greater than the world. Thank you.
Let us bring our prayers for the world. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you that we come to you, our Lord and our God with us, because you came to us 2,000 years ago to be born amongst us, to become a man, to actually live amongst us, to know what it is to be alive in a world which is so imperfect. And yet you came to redeem that world, a world that had rebelled against you. We praise you that you went to the cross for us, that you died taking our sins upon yourself, that you rose again, and that you have given us new life in your new life. And we praise you that you have turned upside down the values of this world. But Lord, we look at the world and our hearts sink. We see so often and so much of the consequences of sin. We see so often that people are discriminated against, people are hungry, people are just fed up because they have no prospects. Lord, we see power being corrupted. And Lord, we ask, how long will this go on? But Lord, we do trust that all things are in your control in the end, that you will have the final say, and that the values of this world will be overturned, and the humble will be raised, and the proud will be brought low. Lord, we praise you that you have given us that hope by coming into our lives and giving us that relationship with you, restoring that relationship which was broken when we sinned against you and disobeyed your word. And Lord, as we pray, we have many places on our minds. Lord, we want to pray for the people of Brunei, where the celebration of Christmas is banned, and Christians from a Muslim background are threatened by government to either recant or lose their citizenship. We ask that the believers there may experience your joy and peace this Christmas time and be empowered by your Spirit to shine as your light in their country. Lord, we continue to pray for South Sudan, where there's been 5 years of conflict, with many people traumatized, hungry, or in exile, many who are grieving for lost relatives. We pray for an effective government there who will bring peace and govern for all its people. And may your people themselves, may your gospel, through your Spirit, bring hope, healing, and reconciliation to that country. And we pray for Yemen, Lord. We thank you that there has been a ceasefire brokered between the government and the Houthi militia. And we pray that that ceasefire will hold and that aid will get to the mind-boggling 22 million people who need it. We pray that for a full-scale peace and a negotiated settlement. And pray that your people again will be peacemakers in that country and will bring healing and reconciliation. And Lord, we hear of another earthquake and tsunami in Indonesia. We pray for the people who have been affected by that last night, all those who are suffering, and all those who have lost homes, have lost relatives. We pray for the relief that is getting there. And Lord, we know that the earthquake earlier this year is still having a big impact on people. And it grieves us to hear that authorities are discriminating against Christians in the distribution of aid. We thank you for those who are bringing aid to them nevertheless. And we pray that, Lord, there will be reconciliation and that your people will share what little they have with their neighbours and thus show that your love is greater than the darkness around them. And we pray, Lord, that our own lives will magnify your name here in Kemne and in our country and in our world. And Lord, may we show that Jesus is Lord and that you are God. And may we bring people to come to know you and to find your peace and your hope, Lord. And Lord, may your light shine in this world. We ask these things for Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's sing our closing song of praise. in my life. Lord, be glorified. As well, right there, isn't it? Asking for God to be glorified in the world, in the church, in our lives. And so may our whole lives join with the song of Mary. In thought, word, and deed, may we seek to magnify the Lord to the world around us. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon each of us and upon all who we love, this day and forevermore. Thank you.